much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Do you want to tell me something? You look like you want to tell me something. You look like you have something really important to say, and you just can't for some reason. Come on, you can tell me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm Yul Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why Grape Nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins. Its naturally sweet taste reminds me of wild hickory nuts. I call Grape Nuts my back-to-nature cereal.
You're a parasite of lies, and I am your worst enemy.
And now...
How you keep it funky and juicy is the funk is the rhythm and all that jazz and the soul of the music and all that stuff. But you gotta be lubricated now, almost like snot, you know what I mean?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, God, no, I don't know.
Unfortunately, we do
no,
know.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you do.
Wow. I don't know.
That's how you want to start, right there. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 8th of September. We start in Seattle. A Seattle man is facing felony assault charges after allegedly shooting at two people who interrupted an oral sex session taking place on the street.
Is it Bean?
Yeah, good question. Police say the incident took place around 2 a.m. I am not aware that I guess you can find a hooker on the street and do it right there. But doesn't it seem like you would get in a car, a hotel room?
At least a car, at the very least.
Something.
Okay, so do this again for me.
Okay.
So they're in the street.
They're in the street.
Doing the thing.
Yeah, and they get interrupted by a couple who was walking down the street. They were arguing, which
okay.
spooked the hooker.
Okay.
And the hooker ran off and wasn't finished.
Okay.
Okay. So guy on the street who's...
Unsatisfied,
pulls gun and shoots. Yeah. He said, "You are a dead mother effer." And
whoa.
He took a shot at the couple.
Oh, my God.
And then the couple hid behind a car. And apparently he was so drunk, he just like was spinning around looking for somebody, looking for anybody else. And so the hooker ran off and then the guy ran off. And then the couple called police and said, "Hey, this guy just shot at us."
Oh, my God.
And they found a bullet casing that matched the gun that the guy had. And the police picked him up and he's in jail.
That is coitus interruptus angrius.
That's, yes, whatever you just said. But I was not aware that the sex with the hookers takes place on the street. And by the way, if that's happening, don't you have to consider that perhaps somebody's going to stumble across you?
Well, like you said, the guy's so drunk.
I guess.
He didn't care. But what about her? I guess a buck's a buck.
I guess.
I don't know.
That is
like the low. Like, I thought being in the car was the lowest rung of hookerishness. But.
Yeah, I don't know that hookerishness is a word. But also, it happened on the street.
Yeah, so that really is the lowest level,
that
I think.
That seems terrible.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Andrew Siciliano coming in to talk about week one of the NFL.
That's all I heard about all weekend. Football.
It's a lot of football, a lot of good football, a lot of weird games.
Yeah.
A lot of games where one team was way behind in the first half and then turned around in the second half. Some of them came back and won, some of them didn't.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
Tom Brady cried, so that's good.
Really?
Yep. You got to love that when Tom Brady cries.
Yeah.
So we have him coming in this morning. I'm also out of my suicide pool, my last man standing.
Already?
Yep. That's how that works. You pick one team
God.
That's going to win each week. And then if that team doesn't win, Chicago Bears against Buffalo Bills, then you're out and your money goes into the pool and everybody else continues.
Weren't you out first week last?
Why don't you shut up?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. I was. The Ice Bucket Challenge is satanic, we're being told now.
Raising all that money for a charity is satanic?
It is satanic.
All right. I got to hear about
this. According to a spokesman for a right-wing group.
Excellent.
Very excited about that. Your embarrassing first jobs. We're going to take your phone calls on that. We talked to Tom Morello on Friday, who said that he was a male stripper.
I thought he was joking.
I'm not positive because I found that story two different places. And I had never heard of it before. We've talked to Tom Morello many times.
Yeah.
But he's also like 10 times smarter than I am. So I don't know if I just brought it up and he was just egging me on.
He couldn't tell. You could not tell from the conversation whether he was joking or not.
It sounded like he was.
Did.
Which I love.
But really?
He said Brick House was his jam. And by the way, unless he saw, he must have seen that. If it's not true, he must have seen that same story because I saw that too, but it hadn't mentioned it yet.
Oh, okay. And it, so said, it actually said
it
that.
Actually said Brick House was
we have the, to find out
the song that he danced to. Well, we asked him and he said yes, but then again,
right?
He could have just been just making fun. Harvey Levin from TMZ is on. I don't know if you saw, the Pope has now been passed on Twitter by Katy Perry.
Oh, so really?
That seems bad.
He must be depressed.
Ralph's Video Vault today. Very excited about Samurai Cop, which he says is and has played a couple of clips. Might be the worst movie ever made.
It sounds amazing. Like we could just do that this whole show.
Yeah, it's it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. So that's coming up this morning. And we have some live music from Vance Joy. He will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the first Showbiz Beat of the week. What's going on, Ralph?
It's a Monday morning, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, yet again, Guardians of the Galaxy coming in with $10.1 million, making it number one this weekend.
Is that four in a row?
Five.
Five in a row.
Fifth
Man,
week, it was
crazy.
Number one. Let's Be Cops was number two. If I Stay was third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came in at number four. Then The November Man with Pierce Brosnan, which I had a chance to see this weekend. Terrific film. I really enjoyed it. $4.2 million made it number five. As above, so below. That's about dead people in Paris.
Sure.
When the Game Stands Tall is seventh. The Giver, The 100-Foot Journey, and The Identical in its debut. That made $2 million, made it number 10 at the box office this weekend. The new film starring our buddy Seth Green. I also got to see a movie called The Trip to Italy this weekend with Steve Coogan and Rob Cord.
Yeah.
Rob Bright.
Trip to Italy.
And,
I haven't heard of that.
It's a sequel to a movie called The Trip, done by the same two British comedians. Very entertaining, very funny, and I recommend it highly. Let's take a look at advertising. Kmart is airing what they call a not a Christmas commercial. Commercial.
It's not a Christmas commercial commercial?
That's what they say.
Okay.
Because Kmart and other stores are getting slammed on social media for super early Christmas shopping, creeping up.
Well, it's just the 8th
Labor
of
Day
September,
is just over.
For God's
yes.
Sakes, yeah.
So they have put out a commercial saying shoppers should start using Kmart's layaway right now. If you have an event in late December that you need a lot of gifts for, maybe. It's like your entire family is having a birthday on the same day. See, what they're doing there is they're trying to skirt around it.
That's sort of funny.
It is sort of funny, yeah. Now, the ad ends by wishing everyone a merry birthday in December. But a lot of people are upset because they say it's creeping Christmas even earlier, and it's sucking all the joy out of the holiday season. To which Kmart responded, it's hard out here for a pimp.
Did they say that?
They got to make a buck. Huh. Can't blame them. Joan Rivers got the funeral she dreamed of yesterday at a temple in Manhattan. People magazine said it was a star-studded affair, and this is just the way she would have liked it, including a speech by Howard Stern, who called Joan Rivers the best friend in the world, a big sister to him, and the crazy aunt at the bar mitzvah.
That sounds a little more accurate.
Yeah. A lot of stars showed up, as you can imagine. Whoopi Goldberg, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters. Even Dr. Oz came.
Wow.
Wow, if you get Dr. Oz out there, that's something else. Her Fashion Police co-host Juliana Rancic and Kelly Osbourne was there. Sadly, they did not climb into the box and join her. That would have been the best possible scenario for everybody involved. And Khloe Kardashian's little rebound romance is turning into the real thing. Sources are telling RadarOnline.com that Khloe's genuinely in love with French Montana. And this is the happiest she's been in a long time. Ever since she and Han Solo made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars all born today on September the 8th. Singer Amy Mann is 54 years old today. Actor Martin Freeman turns 43. Brooke Burke turns 43 as well. She used to be on Dancing with the Stars, right? Wasn't she the host of that show back in the day?
I don't know. I didn't watch that show much.
Actor David Arquette is 43 years old. Actor Lorenz Tate turns 39. Pink. She's 35. Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement. He's now 33 years old today. Little Jonathan. Wiz Khalifa is 27 years old. And DJ Avicii. Hey, how you doing, Avicii? Hey, get yourself a nice pizza pie, Avicii. Hey, a
paisana. He's Swedish. I'm not sure he's Italian.
What? Yeah. Well, why isn't he DJ Bjorn then?
Can't answer that.
Well, find out an answer for next hour. He's 25 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in a minute. And Ralph's Video Vault with Samurai Cop, which I'm looking forward to because it may be the worst movie that's ever been made.
It sounds amazing.
The Ice Bucket Challenge is a satanic ritual. It's a ritual for satanic worship. Are you aware of that?
Did it.
You did it. You're a Satan worshiper.
I had no idea.
I did it. I am also apparently a Satan worshiper.
There's so many of us.
There are a lot of Satan worshipers now that we're not aware of that.
Ah.
And we have a spokesman right now on the line that we're going to talk to about this, Roger McMahon. Good morning.
Good morning. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't it very funny to make fun of Satan taking things over? Oh, I'm a Satan. Oh, yeah, I'm too Satan. You are, and you don't even know it. That's how sad you are.
Don't you have to know it?
But here's what we're saying. You're dumping ice water on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Okay, now that's it. It doesn't come with a prayer to Satan or anything.
Oh, it doesn't it?
No.
No.
It doesn't have any officially sanctioned language that goes along with it. Like, I accept the challenge, and I now call out three other people. You have 24 hours. There's not a pattern that goes with that conversation?
Well, yeah, those words.
Oh!
But wait a minute.
Oh, maybe it does then. Have a prayer then. Maybe it does. So that's what I say.
Well, that's not a prayer. It's just accepting the challenge and then challenging other people to do it. It has nothing to do with Satan.
Or accepting the devil into your life as your Lord and Savior.
How does that translate?
Because it's a ritual where you say the magic words and you get ice dumped on you. It's a baptism ritual. How much symbolism do you need, sir? Finally, in the final analysis, sir.
It's just ice water, though. It's water with ice in it.
Oh, well, holy water's just water. Just put a little holy water on your forehead and there you are baptized in the name of Jesus. It's just water, isn't it, sir? Isn't it, sir?
If that's,
I say to you, sir.
Isn't that the... Then if that's the case, then maybe I'm doing it to worship God.
Or maybe you're doing it to worship Satan.
But how do you jump to that conclusion?
Let's ask him.
Ask who?
Hello. Satan here.
I'm sorry?
Satan here. How's it going?
It's good. Have you been on the line?
I have. I've been listening in. Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Now you know. Now he's right there. Ask the man himself.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me. What do you want to know?
Ice Bucket Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Raise money for ALS.
Sure.
Swept the world.
Absolutely.
Is that a ritual of satanic worship?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Well, see, that's how I get you, is like I make you think you're doing something good, and then I dump ice water on your head and make you say the magic words, and then I own your soul. It's kind of, it's don't get me wrong, it's tricky. It's like a catch-22 kind of thing, but, the devil's got to make a buck. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying that we unknowingly are worshiping Satan when we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all tied in with Oprah. It's all basically part of Oprah.
And you own our souls now?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, they're all mine.
So what does that mean?
That's the thing about souls. Not a lot of value in the market anymore. Still trying to figure out what to do. I got a big backlog of souls now. I got a big warehouse full of them.
I'm
going to start to stock them deep and sell them cheap, I think. I think the only way to make a buck is volume.
Well, you certainly have a lot of people who've done the Ice Bucket Challenge to pick from.
Yeah, sure. But there's another one.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
There's another soul.
Yeah.
Another useless, valueless soul I own now.
Wow. So many people have done it. You must be overrun.
I should have thought this out.
Yeah. You should have. Let's go to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, as we do.
Okay.
On Monday morning. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Harvey.
Hey, Kev. Hey, listen, mate.
How was the weekend?
Really good. How was yours?
Very good.
Yeah.
Uneventful and a lot of football. Very excited about that.
Speaking of,
yeah. Yeah, that's an ugly video you got on your site.
What is it?
It's really shocking. TMZ Sports posted the video of Ray Rice and his then-fiance outside the elevator after he knocked her out, which, I'm sure you guys have seen.
Yep.
we now have the inside video, inside the elevator, where you see the whole thing happen.
Oh, no.
And it is shocking. But I will say, to me, it's not shocking with respect to Ray Rice. What's shocking is the NFL. And that, to me, is the whole story. That when you watch this video, I mean, you know, Ray Rice said this was mutual combat. We, you know, watch the video. That's ridiculous. He cold cocks this woman so hard it knocks her off her feet, and she lands, she hits the railing in the elevator, knocked out cold, and he's trying to figure out what to do with her, and people are walking by, and he's trying to, you know, forget about Ray Rice for a minute. I mean, we knew about Ray Rice before, but when we are told by people in the hotel that the NFL saw the video. Now, the NFL will not get back to us. But when you watch this video, and Goodell now says, oh, I got it wrong, I got it right, it's like, how could you get it wrong in the first place if you saw this video? I mean, this is not a high concept.
No.
And for Goodell to say, oh, I got it wrong, but now I got it right, it's absurd. And when you see the video, it just gets you mad because nobody can buy what the NFL is selling in terms of its party line on this thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they probably were guessing that video would never get out, and if they saw it and they knew what happened, they're just protecting their league from that kind of bad publicity. But that happened, and it's really troubling when you look at it.
Well, I guess the question is, you know, Kevin, you may be right, and maybe that's what's going on. But really, think that through. What if Goodell said, "Look, I'm going to bang on the fact that the video doesn't get out, but I'm also going to do the right thing, and I'm not going to give him just a 2-game suspension."
Yeah.
What skin is it off his teeth to give an appropriate suspension under those circumstances? If he's willing to bench somebody for as long as he did for smoking weed, how does he justify 2 games for that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so different when you hear that it happened versus watching
it.
You see it, you watch the video. Yeah, it just burns into your head.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. What's happening to him legally?
Say again?
What's going to happen to him legally?
Well, nothing's happened to him legally so far. I mean, this is such a curious case. And you do know that a month after this, she married him, right?
No,
she married him. A month after.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
That's depressing.
Oh, jeez is the takeaway from this.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Reddit. Let's talk about the celebrity nude leaks and Reddit and what they're trying to do to stop it.
Your sweet spot.
Yeah. Are they trying to stop it, or are they just doing it for PR?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it took a little bit of time, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, now they're saying that even though whenever people start with a statement, even though the law doesn't require it, we're going to go beyond the law and show outrage, you know. Okay. Well, they did. And now they've shut down that portion of the site and, you know, and we'll see. I mean, I don't know that the hackers are going to stop. Now, the latest one with Hillary Duff, they're saying that, you know, she says it's absolutely not her, that the tattoos don't match, birthmarks don't match, absolutely not her. So my guess is there are copycats out there, and there are people who are kind of trying to jump on the bandwagon here, and there was, you know, definitely an invasion. And now the issue is, you know, who's making stuff up just to kind of jump on the train.
Harvey, I may be in the minority, but I really believe I don't want to see photos that they don't want me to see. You know what I mean? Like Kate Upton, really, there are 10 million pictures of her being super sexy out there on the internet. And she's pretty much naked in half of them. I got those to go to.
I think a lot of people agree with you.
You know, I don't want to see something that is stolen from her. It just seems like it's invasive.
I think a lot of people agree with you.
I hope so.
But you know what? You know the thing is? Here's what I think the psychology is. I do think people agree with you on that. But then I think they all want to see what the fuss is. So they're not looking so much even voyeuristically as they are. They just want to be in on the, you know, the talk that everybody's talking about.
Everybody else is talking about it.
it's so funny that when you really think about what's going on in the digital age with, you know, penetrating the cloud and whatever, which is, you know, extremely high tech,
yeah.
It's the same thing as 300 years ago with the town crier saying, you know, listen, look at what happened to so-and-so, and everybody wants to be part of the community, and everybody wants to know the gossip and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's the same principle. It's just more high tech.
Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm not interested in that.
I get it.
Let's talk about Joan Rivers Memorial. This is weird. I mean, I guess it makes sense for her, but usually memorials are not celeb attended, and that's all the story is about. Is it?
You mean just that the headline here is look at all the celebrities who attended?
Yeah, it's sort of a weird headline for a memorial. Then again, it was Joan Rivers, and that was her deal. That was her thing.
I think she'd like, listen, Joan Rivers, you know, had made a lot of friends over a long career, and there are a lot of people who are really influenced by her. And I think, you know, just the fact that you have a lot of people who became successful and say that she was part of that success, and they credit her with part of the success, and she was an inspiration for part of the success, which is true, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
It's absolutely true, and especially for women, it's absolutely true. So I think it's kind of befitting that all of these celebrities who were impacted by her showed up for this. I think it's great.
Talking about Howard Stern, Donald Trump, Whoopi Goldberg, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kelly Osbourne.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Except for Bernadette Peters. I didn't know she was still alive, but apparently she is.
God.
Seriously. When was the last time you heard the name Bernadette Peters?
She's on Broadway, dude.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard that name?
Okay, 30 years ago.
All right, thank you. Harvey, we always appreciate the time. Harvey Levin from TMZ. It airs on Fox Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. and then throughout the rest of the day it repeats. TMZ Live airs Monday to Friday at 1 p.m. Do I have that right? 1 p.m.?
And 4 p.m.
4 p.m., I'm sorry. And TMZ Sports on Channel 13, Fridays at 11, Monday to Fridays at 11 a.m. Harvey, thanks for the time. We always appreciate it.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Bye now. I'm just saying we can't be the only guys knocked out of the suicide pool already. I'm just saying that.
I'm sure you're not.
It was week one of the NFL. It was the first week.
You know, you think a team's going to win at home, and they don't.
Yeah.
Bears. That Bears.
Yeah.
Suck.
Buffalo Bills beat the Bears.
In overtime.
So that's bad for me. So you put in money at the beginning of the season, and then all you have to do is pick one winner a week. That's it. One game. You pick one game. Generally, what you try and do is save the slam dogs for later in the season.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to pick the best teams at the beginning because then at the end of the season, you got nobody to kind of pick.
I gotcha.
So you try to pick the games that are probably, you know, slam dogs. And Buffalo Bills, let's be honest, for God's sakes, are playing Chicago. There's no possible way that's going to happen.
In Chicago.
And that was your pick as well, Dave?
Yeah.
By the way, we'll take your calls if you're already out of your suicide pool as well, because 1-800-520-1067. It really is. It's painful because you're just getting started. I mean, it's basically yesterday through Christmas. And now today through Christmas, not in the pool. And that sort of sucks.
Yeah, the excitement of the new NFL season
is here.
I'm going to gamble. I'm going to pick winners each week.
This is awesome. And I got strategy, and I've got these teams, but I got to hold on to these. And you figure it all out. I'm going to hold on to these picks till later because then I'll need them, and I'll be able to get that entire pot. It's going to be awesome. And then it just doesn't happen. And then Miami ends up beating the Patriots. What? Who? How did...
It's like being the first person on Survivor to be sent home. You get all the way there.
Yeah.
And like 24 hours later, you're packing up your bags.
You're gone. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's so depressing.
Yeah.
So you pick New England. You're thinking, hey, you know, Brady on the road against the AFC East, he dominates. He just destroys.
Yeah. I wouldn't even.
Gronkowski, Gronk's playing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in. I'll make that pick. You know, the reason why I didn't make that pick is because I usually never pick the double-digit spreads.
Yeah, it was too much of a slam dunk.
Yeah, their spread was too big on the road. And I was like, oh, I'll stay away from that one because that's the one that, you know.
That's a sucker bet.
Yeah. You know, I want to save the Patriots for later in the season. Well, I guess I can't.
Because they're going to be on a roll. And I don't know if you saw, but Tom Brady was crying like a little girl. That was awesome.
Why was he crying?
As a baby. That's why he was crying.
His hair was messed up or something.
And by the way, and they got beat by Miami. So for God's sakes, that's embarrassing. Ruben in Whittier, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Ruben.
You're out?
I'm out.
Yeah. That sucks, huh? That's not that's not all the fun that it was cracked up to be.
Yeah, F you, Chip.
Yeah.
Hey, Ruben, what was the entry fee?
It was only 25.
Oh, so it wasn't 100 credits like me?
No, just 25 credits.
Okay.
Yeah, but then next week when it comes around to the NFL time, what are you going to be doing, Ruben? Just nothing.
just sitting around.
Season's over. I'll wait for Survivor 2, you know?
Stupid.
we already started a backup pool.
No way.
You have to. You have to. Like, if enough people lose, you start again.
Maybe you guys want to be in his backup pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of guys in our pool actually took the Jaguars, too, and that was a...
You mean the...
I'm sorry, they took Philly. They almost lost.
Oh, yeah.
Philly had to come back 24...
17-0 and a half.
Yeah, it was crazy, and they did, but man, oh, man, that sucks. All right, let's go to David in Chino. Hi, David.
Hi, how's it going?
Not well. We're already out of our pool. You?
Same thing. I took Chicago.
Of course. Aww. Of course you took Chicago. You know why? They were at home and they were playing
and
the Bills.
It's Buffalo.
Right. That was my thing. That was almost too much of a slam dunk. I almost didn't pick them because it's clear they're going to win. They're at home and they're playing Buffalo.
Thank you. I'm glad I wasn't the only idiot.
We're all idiots.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I had Philadelphia as another pick, too, so that was a scare right there,
It was
too.
A scare, but they came through.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is only week one.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Are you in a backup pool yet? Did you start again?
This one will have a backup one, I think, halfway through.
Yeah.
I got to wait a few weeks. But I still got that one pick still alive in that pool, so I had two picks.
Oh, I got you. All right.
Who knew we couldn't trust Cutler?
I know, huh?
Right. I guess we all should have known that.
Oh, man.
Week one. Horrible. I'm never doing that again.
Yes, you are.
You know.
You won't be able to help yourself. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Coming up next, we're going to talk about embarrassing jobs. You had embarrassing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Tom Morello on Friday, and I couldn't tell if he was kidding or not, but I saw the story in two different sources that he was a male stripper when he first moved to Southern California. I find that hard to believe.
A little bit, yeah.
I find that questionable at best. So,
the words of Lisa May.
So I found it on Wikipedia, and I said, I don't trust anything that I can change. And I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but he's the kind of guy who would play along with that for yucks as well.
I agree.
He's a funny, smart guy.
But then...
he would like to put you on
it. Yeah, I agree. He's so much smarter than I am, I couldn't tell if he was kidding around or if he was telling the truth.
Hmm.
But if you had an embarrassing job, we'll talk to you just after the top of the hour. We also have Ralph's Video Vault on the way, Samurai Cop, he's bringing to you, the fine listeners. And some live music from Vance Joy. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Does Sharktopus count as an embarrassing job?
I don't think so.
No?
No. Gotta be honest.
It's official. I'm going to do another one of those sci-fi movies.
Can you tell us what it is yet?
I don't know. I gotta ask some people first. I don't want to get in
really
trouble.
Know.
I don't want to lose the gig
okay.
Before I shoot the gig. But I will be appearing in another one of those sci-fi movies with one of those hybrid creature dealies.
Yeah,
you know?
Flea elephant.
Like flea elephant.
Yeah, like that.
Which would be horrible. Damn you, Sharktopus! So let me run it past everybody.
Okay.
Make sure I can talk about it, and then I will talk about it nonstop.
All right,
it's gonna be a good one. Speaking of movies and good ones, how great does this A Walk Among the Tombstones look?
That looks awesome
with Liam Neeson. It looks very Taken-esque. Only in this particular case, he is a former cop who's now a plastic surgeon. Nope, a private investigator. Who gets hired by a drug kingpin to find out who kidnapped and murdered his wife and things. It's one of these detective stories. Looks like it just spins wildly out of control, and this guy gets in way over his head.
It looks great.
Looks terrific. A Walk Among the Tombstones opens in theaters everywhere on September the 19th. Would you like to see it early? Sure, why wouldn't you? Well, we're having a special K-Rock screening of this film September the 16th at the AMC Burbank 16. Five lucky winners right now. Call me 1-800-520-1067. Five callers who get through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of A Walk Among the Tombstones. It's a cheery, upbeat title.
Sure, it's comedy.
Well,
Speaking of movies, it is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Guardians of the Galaxy, once again, number one for the fifth week. $10 million made it number one. Let's Be Cops was second. If I Stay was third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles dropped to fourth this week. The November Man with Pierce Brosnan was fifth. As Above, So Below, When the Game Stands Tall, The Giver, The 100-Foot Journey, and Identical were your top 10 movies at the box office.
Not a weekend. Not a banner crop.
And not a big weekend. I mean, $10 million,
yeah, $10 million is the most.
The number one movie, so a lot of the people stayed away from the
Do you think the movies stay away from this weekend because of the NFL? Like, big movies? There was no huge release Friday.
True.
That's true, but
I don't know.
There was no football, really, on Friday and Saturday. People could have gone to the movies if they wanted.
College football. College football. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting Harris poll this week. Asking Americans of all ages and backgrounds who their favorite musician or band is. Let me break it down by generation and see if you can guess who said what.
Okay.
Let's start with the matures, as they're known by their demographic. These are people 69 years of age or older. 69 plus. Who do you think their number one favorite musician is? 69 plus.
Bach.
Bach.
Is that right?
Yeah, Kevin, because they all lived in the times when Bach was writing concertos.
I knew it. I nailed it.
You did not know it,
you said
nor
yes.
Did you nail it. I was being facetious.
Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra's an excellent guess, Beer Mug, but you'd be wrong. I was stunned by the answer, quite frankly.
The Who or Stones or?
Nope.
Huh.
Willie Nelson.
What? Oh, my God.
Willie Nelson was number one for 69 plus.
Really?
Huh. 50 to 68-year-olds, the baby boomers, as they're known. 50 to 68-year-olds.
They're the Stones.
They are not the Stones.
Okay.
They're the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Beatles number one for that band. Generation X, as they are known, 38-year-old to 49-year-olds.
Pearl Jam.
Metallica.
Yeah, I think Pearl Jam's a little younger even.
Metallica for the Generation Xers.
Okay.
And the millennials, as they're known, 18-year-olds to 37-year-olds. 18 to 37. Number one artist.
Number one artist.
Justin Bieber.
No way.
No.
That's a joke.
You should be murdered. Just for saying Adele that name.
Dazeem.
Just
That's for saying what that they name. Want to do to him.
Adele Dazeem?
Not Adele Dazeem. No. Beyonce.
Of
Beyonce,
course.
Number one.
Of course.
Isn't that something? Interesting list. And Beer Mug, congratulations. You're going to want to be online. At noon today, you want to be on the Olive Garden website?
Yes.
The Olive Garden website.
Yep.
Like he's not on there right now.
Today at 3 p.m. Eastern, which would be noon our time, Olive Garden is offering 1,000 of their biggest fans a deal where for $100... you can buy their never-ending pasta pass. You can eat as much pasta, salad, bread, and Coca-Cola as you want for 7 weeks.
Wow.
Wait.
Listen to Beer. Wow.
Yummy.
He's got a stiffy.
For 7 weeks?
7 weeks. For $100,
yeah.
They give you a pass, and for the next 7 weeks, you can eat as much pasta, salad, Coke, and breadsticks at Olive Garden as you want. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, 7 days a week, as much as you want. Order, 7 weeks worth, as much as you want. $100. That is a deal.
Okay.
That is a sweet-ass deal.
I'm guessing most people wouldn't eat $100 worth. Mugs would.
In
don't get
7 weeks?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't eat $100 worth of pasta in 7 weeks.
Because pasta, I would guess, is pretty cheap. And you'd get tired of it after.
7 weeks.
Yeah, maybe I could, but
anyone could.
Look,
what's it cost you for a plate of pasta at Olive Garden regularly? $20 for dinner?
Is it that much? I don't know.
$15? $10? What's
it? Probably $10.
$10 for one dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So can you have 10 dinners over 7 weeks?
Okay, yeah, probably can.
Probably can.
All right.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'll be online.
All right. There's only 1,000 of these. Only 1,000 passes available.
All right.
So that's part of the promotion, so you got to get on it. Get on it. For $100, you can eat all you want. I want Beer Mug to do it and die.
Hey.
I want him to explode. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Amy Mann is 54 years old today. Martin Freeman, you know him as Bilbo Baggins.
Yep.
The Hobbit.
I know him from Sherlock.
Yeah.
Also Watson and Sherlock. And also Fargo. He was in Fargo and the original Office in the UK.
Oh, right.
The guy's got a lot of gigs. Brooke Burke is 43. David Arquette, also 43. Lorenz Tate is 39. Pink, 35 years old today. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 33. DJ Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you doing, Avicii?
He's not Italian.
Yes, he is.
He is not Italian.
That name's Italian. He's 25. And Wiz Khalifa is 27 years old today.
Hey, get me. Wiz, what are we smoking? Where are we smoking later?
You tell me.
I can do it right now.
Did you?
No.
We never did.
Wiz walked right on by.
You go to Olive Garden and get some pasta.
Done.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About an hour from now, we have Vance Joy in the studio performing live. Very excited about
that.
Yeah. And Andrew Siciliano joins us for a look back at week one of the NFL. Right now, let's talk about embarrassing first jobs. You had an embarrassing first job, or one of your first jobs was embarrassing. The number is 1-800-520-1067. We talked to Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine and Audio Slave, and now he's playing with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. On Friday, he was doing a charity event, and we talked to him. And in Wikipedia, it says that when he first came to Los Angeles, he was a male stripper. Now, I found that hard to believe.
Because really, how many people do that?
I don't know.
When they're looking for work. That's not a common choice.
A, that's not a common choice. B, I mean, the dude went to Harvard.
Yeah.
He went to Harvard. Smartest guy I know.
Yeah.
Great guitarist. I asked him about it. He said that it was true. I think I still don't believe him. Even though he said it was true. I think he was just giving me a hard time.
Yeah.
Although he may have seen the same story that I saw, because I didn't bring up the song that he danced to, but he did when I talked to him on Friday. You first came to Los Angeles and had to make money as a male stripper named Tom Meat Swinger Morello.
There are elements of that that are true. The meat swinger is the part that is not.
So the nickname is not, but you were a male stripper when you came here?
Hey, the rent ain't going to pay itself. Brick House was my jam, by the way.
Brick House was the song that you danced to.
That was the opening number.
Okay. So,
I don't think so.
He said that he did it, and that this was his song, but okay, it doesn't make a lot of sense because A, the song is about a girl, right?
Yeah,
although
that's
it's a popular one to dance to, but I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that Tom Morello was a male stripper.
There aren't a lot of those places here, either.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be for...
A lot more work for a lady.
Sure.
Than for a guy.
But I would imagine there'd be, like, private parties and stuff like that. Maybe bachelorette parties and stuff.
Maybe you can make good money.
I don't know. I think I would rule Tom Morello was just yanking my chain.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's what I would go with. But you had an embarrassing job. Maybe you don't tell people about it so much now that you've moved on in your life. Let's start with Tracy in Los Angeles, and then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
You had an embarrassing job?
Yeah, my first job, I was 16 years old, and I worked at Chuck E. Cheese. I was the mouse.
You were the mouse?
Yeah, and I'm 5'2", so the mouse had shorts, and the shorts touched the tennis shoes because I'm so short.
Sweet. So it sort of looked like pants.
Yep.
How long did you do that?
I was there for about 2 years, and I met my husband there.
You met your husband at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, he worked there too.
There's so much wrong with that. So you had to interact with all the kids. I imagine that must have been a nightmare.
Yeah. It was even worse when I was having a bad day and all the kids would hit me in the nose or pull the nose out of the costume.
Yeah, I imagine that's what happened all the time.
A lot
of abuse from kids that think it's funny or laughing, entertaining their friends.
Oh, yeah, you constantly get the little kid that would jump up because he wanted to, like, hit the ear or something.
Yeah. Wow.
2 years you lasted. I'm impressed.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing, also rough.
It was funny when I would, like, bend down and, like, say things like, don't do that to the child. And, you know, Chucky's not supposed to talk.
Sure. So, you ever curse him out? I'll effing kill you. Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, but now I have two little ones of my own, so I feel bad.
Yeah, but you did it.
Well, you don't let them beat up stuffed things.
Right, you let them jump up and hit the ears of an animal.
Yeah.
or a miniature person in an animal.
I love she met her husband there.
Thank you for calling, Tracy.
Thank you.
All right, bye now. Embarrassing jobs, 1-800-520-1067, or horrific jobs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was – probably that was both.
I worked at KFC. That was my first job.
Was it embarrassing?
Well,
just horrific.
I went home smelling like chicken fat every night. It was kind of gross. Yeah.
That's not ideal.
It wasn't sexy.
Okay. All right. So we'll go with horrific as well. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. Talked to Tom Morello on Friday. Said he was a male stripper. I don't think I'd buy it. I think he was just giving us I think he was just being funny.
Yeah.
But we're asking for your embarrassing jobs. Let's start with Mia in Ontario. Hi there, Mia.
Hi. Hi, Kevin and Bean. Good morning.
Good morning.
You had an embarrassing job. What was it?
Well, it was horrific. It was McDonald's when I was a teenager, and I had to clean the playpen area where kids threw up and urinated.
You mean like that ball pit and all of those slides?
Yes. So they will eat, throw up, and then they wouldn't go to the restrooms. They'll pee everywhere, and I have to wash the balls.
That isn't good for you.
If you find yourself washing the balls, you need to get a new job.
Seriously.
Yes, I lasted 6 months, and that was it.
Wow. I'm surprised you lasted 6 months. Thank you for the call. That does not sound good. Let's go to Jessica in Lake Forest. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. So I worked at a dog daycare when I was 16, and everyone thinks, oh, yeah, you get to play with dogs all day.
Yeah.
No, you get to clean up dog poop and pee and break up dog fights, and you smell like a wet dog when you leave, and shoes are covered in poop, and it's disgusting.
Wow.
There's something I mean, I'm picking up your own dog's poo. It doesn't bother me, but other people's dog's poo is
Oh, yeah, theirs
so
is gross.
Icky.
Oh, yeah. Try a Great Dane. It's a lot.
Oh, man.
How long did you last at that job?
6 months.
Six months.
And then I worked somewhere else that paid a lot more money.
Yeah.
That's the magic number.
Good
6
idea.
Months.
All right. Thank you, Jessica, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Ricky in Lakewood. Hi.
Morning. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Ricky.
You had an embarrassing job? Or difficult or
I
horrific?
A hot dog on a stick at the mall.
Yes. You got to wear those hats?
Yeah, and that wasn't the embarrassing part, though. This dad would send his little kid over to videotape me when I'm making the lemonade. I was basically just jackhammering away, and my boobs were all over the place. And I was only 17, so it was really weird.
God.
Wait a minute.
That's so creepy.
A parent would give his kid a video camera and send him over?
Yes, I was doing the lemonade and I see this creepy old man give his little kid his cell phone and the kid starts walking over to me and videotaping me.
Oh my God.
What's going to happen to
That's
that
creepy.
Later?
There's so much bad with that. Is it online anywhere? Have you seen it?
I really hope not.
The hot girls of hot dog on a stick or anything? All right. Thank you, Ricky. That's horrific there. That may be the worst. Brendan in Marina Del Rey. Hi.
Kevin, how you doing
Good.
Today? Hi,
Lisa
May.
Hi there.
Horrific
Hi.
Or embarrassing job?
I was the Burbank Mall security guard that worked the night shift from midnight to 8 a.m. walking around the parking lots making sure nothing happened.
And, of course, all the stores were closed, so no one was there.
Oh, there was nothing there. There was nothing
completely
there.
Completely empty.
There was one incident in 2 weeks, and my boss told me what to write up, and I wrote it up, and he said, wow, I can't believe you did that. I was like, you just told me what to do. I wrote up exactly what you said. But apparently their expectation level was pretty low.
Yeah, they didn't mean it. They're just telling you what they were supposed to tell you to cover their asses.
Exactly.
Oh, that hurts.
What a horrible job.
How long did you keep that job, Brendan?
I lasted 2 weeks until I got a business internship. So.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
That was awful.
Yeah, I would not have lasted that long either. Wow, Anna's even worse. How is this possible? Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
You had an embarrassing or horrific job.
I had an embarrassing and difficult job.
Okay.
I actually worked for the county health department at the STD clinic.
Okay.
And I would have to notify people's sexual partners that they were possibly in danger of contracting an STD from their partner.
That was your job. You were the person that had to make that call?
I was the person who had to make that call to have people come in to find out if they had contracted HIV or chlamydia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And sometimes I was calling people who were not monogamous partners, like for married people, and they had to call the people they had relations with that were not their spouses.
Oh, man.
Is that I didn't realize that was the job of somebody at a business. I would think that would be on the person to contact people that they were having.
No, it's through the county health department. So we have an obligation to try to stop the spread of STDs through the public. And so we're obligated.
Because those people aren't telling other people.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. And probably for everybody who tells us two sexual partners that they've had, they're usually it's like 10.
Sure. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're always underestimating. Yeah, I imagine.
Exactly.
How long did you keep that job?
About 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Wow, you have no soul. I mean, as a result of that job, right?
Yeah. You're very careful about, after you work in a place like that, you're just very careful about who you have any kind of relationship with.
Oh, yeah. I bet. You're just get away from me, girl.
Oh, exactly. It's like, don't touch me.
If I were you, I would just get the person on the phone and play this from Family Guy.
You have AIDS. Yes, you have AIDS. I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
You've got
sounds fun that way. Next hour, live music from Vance Joy.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about that.
Yes.
And Andrew Siciliano will be here.
Yes.
To talk about week one of the NFL.
Go Birds!
Tomorrow morning. Yeah, what a game.
Yeah, what a comeback, huh?
What a game. Philadelphia was down 17?
Tale of two halves. 17-0 at the half and then came back. 34 unanswered points.
Arizona also unbeaten, my team.
I think they play tonight.
That's right. Yeah, they do play tonight. Ralph's been waiting since Friday. What brought up Samurai Cop, Ralph? I forget.
Well, I've been a fan for a couple of years now of this film. It is one of those cult classics, a movie that is so bad, so inept, so cheesy that it attains a certain kind of magical brilliance.
Of greatness.
Yes. This email from Michael Taylor, for example. Thank you, Ralph Garman. Samurai Cop was the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. Right? And he's right. It is. It transcends. It is a remarkable film from 1991. It's very much a part of the 80s, by the way. Don't get fooled by its release date. It's very 80s, and it's very cheesy. And it is horribly written and directed by a man named Amir Shervan, who apparently was a Persian immigrant who he thought Americans talked and acted like this.
Sweet.
His entire basis of what he thought America was apparently taken from the Lethal Weapon films. That's the only thing, the reference points he seems to have about Americans.
It's time for Ralph's Video Vault.
And now, welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
Samurai Cop is the story of a cop named Joe Marshall, who's also a samurai.
Sure.
Now, he doesn't do anything samurai throughout this entire film.
Is a samurai just a sword specialist?
He's a Japanese warrior.
Okay. Not a ninja.
Not a ninja.
Okay.
But a Japanese warrior.
All right.
Known for using the katana.
Okay.
Or samurai sword.
So Samurai Cop doesn't
at the very end, for a very short period of time, he picks up the sword. But the rest of the time, he's just a cop. Very little samurai, mostly just cop. We don't know much about him from the beginning, from the outset. It's all sort of a mystery, but they fill us in very quickly. His partner, Frank Washington, who's an African-American cop, and Joe, the samurai cop, has long, flowing mane of hair. It is very, very Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
Very sort of Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, that kind of vibe going
right
on. And Frank, early on, fills us in a lot of the backstory of Joe, our samurai cop, just out of nowhere, basically.
Are responsible for bringing you from San Diego. Are you sure this is a good bust?
Yeah, cocaine.
Hi, Sergeant, how are you?
I'm just fine.
We're going to go catch us some bad guys.
Good luck. Call me if you need me.
See you.
See you later.
All right.
That is not real.
That's them leaving the police station.
That is not real.
That's them leaving the police station. Get ready to bust some bad guys.
That's not real.
They're going to take down the cocaine bust of this Japanese gang, the Katana gang. This very dangerous Japanese organized crime family. And there's a cocaine bust going down, but he needs the help of Peggy, who is another cop who flies in a helicopter. She's a helicopter cop? She's a copter cop. And Peggy is a very beautiful blonde, busty helicopter cop who also is a bit of a slut.
Okay.
And sleeps with a lot of people on the police force.
All right.
Including Joe, the samurai cop. Although he's only been here a week from San Diego. I don't know how she had the time. Mm. But here they are chasing the bad guys and then working a little flirting at the end, too.
Peggy, Peggy, you hear me?
Yeah, Frank, I can hear you.
Watch for the boat.
There's lots of boats in the marina. How am I supposed to know which one's carrying the coke?
Just keep an eye on the van, Peggy. I'm well informed there's a large suitcase full of coke in the back. They're going to make the swap somewhere in the marina. Just stick close to them.
Okay, Joe. Keep it up.
Oh, it's up and ready. You just keep it warm.
It's warm and ready.
Come on!
Yeah. Oh,
it's
God.
Up and ready. You just keep it warm.
That is not
it's
real.
It's warm and ready, Joe. I'll have sex with you later. And he does. The minute the bus is over, he goes to Peggy's house and has sex
with
her.
You got to do what you got to do.
And so Fujiyama, the head of the Katana gang, is furious about the samurai. He wants to know all the details there are about the samurai cop.
So they call him Samurai, huh?
Yes. His real name is Joe Marshall. They call him Samurai. He speaks fluent Japanese. He got his martial arts training from the masters in Japan. He was brought over here from the police force in San Diego to fight us.
To fight us? To fight me? To destroy my operation? To kill you and my other men? To put handcuffs on me? And put me in the gas chamber?
The gas chamber?
What?
Easy. Easy. Well,
what just happened?
You're entitled to a legal proceeding. They're going to take
me
you
in
to
the
court.
Gas chamber.
Yeah. You're jumping ahead there.
Wow.
Fujiyama.
It's good acting, though. That's what I like about it.
It's very Cucamonga Heat, yeah. In my opinion. One of the bad guys from the Katana gang ends up in the hospital, and so they go there to try to interview him. Unfortunately, he's unable to speak, but Joe Samurai Cop does get to flirt with a sexy nurse there.
Do you like what you see?
I love what I see.
Would you like to touch what you see?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would.
Would you like to f*** me?
Bingo.
Well, then let's see what you've got.
Yeah.
Doesn't interest me.
What?
Nothing there.
Nothing there? Just exactly what would interest you? Something the size of a jumbo jet?
Have you been circumcised?
What?
Yeah, I have. Why?
Well, your doctor must have cut a big portion of it off.
No, he was a good doctor.
Good doctors make mistakes, too. That's why they buy insurance.
Hey, don't worry. I got enough. It's big.
I want bigger.
Yeah!
Yeah!
With that kind of snappy, sexy dialogue.
God. That's worse than porn dialogue.
No, it's so crisp. It's like...
They're such good actors and actresses.
Watching a British farce, the way they go back and forth with those rapier wits.
No, he was a good doctor.
In every movie like this, you've got a blustery, grizzled captain who's always angry at the two cops who are out there messing up the streets, right?
Sure.
You two, I'm going to take your badges and guns. You always need that guy, right? Well, here's a Captain Roma who's very upset with the work that they're doing, demanding results. And Frank Washington, the African-American part of the black partner, he says that they're going to get results. Don't worry.
Look, Captain, you know it, and they know it themselves. And what they want is results. And that's what we're going to give them. We're going to give them the results. Now, why don't we give Samurai here a second chance? Because I need him. We need him. So why don't we just help him and support him? All right? What do you say, huh, Cap?
I feel like somebody stuck a big club up my and it hurts. I've got to figure out a way to get it out of there.
What? How is that?
That doesn't even make sense.
Anything to do with anything.
That doesn't even make sense.
Give a giant piece of wood up your butt. What? And then it hurts. Okay. What? I don't understand.
Is he saying Samurai Cop
is a pain in the ass?
Is a pain in the ass?
But what an odd way to describe it.
I've got to get it out of there.
Yeah, because it hurts. So Samurai Cop shows up where Fujiyama is,
sure.
And he's in a restaurant, entertaining his friends, and Samurai Cop doesn't show up, man. He doesn't care. He shows up, and he just embarrasses him in front of his friends at the restaurant.
Now, I'm telling these son of a bitches that we respect the Japanese of this country who are honest businessmen. And yeah, this is the land of opportunity for legitimate business, not for death merchants who distribute drugs to our children through schools and on the streets. Now, I'm telling these motherfuckers that if they continue killing our children to make their precious millions that they deposit in their secret Swiss bank accounts, counselor, before your lawsuit even gets off the court clerk's desk, I'll have their stinking bodies in garbage bags and ship them back to Japan for fertilizer. Got it?
Yeah! Go,
wow.
Joe!
Man, he told him.
Now it's time for some comic relief because Joe, while he's at the restaurant, he decides that he is very attracted to the young lady who owns the restaurant.
Of course he is.
Because he hasn't had sex with a stranger in about four scenes. So it's time to him to have sex with someone else. And he asks the waiter about her. Well, it's time for the comic relief by the hilarious gay Cuban waiter.
Oh, no.
That Joe has to talk to. And this passed for comedy back in 1991.
Who's that blonde girl?
Oh, her name is Jennifer. She's the boss.
The boss? You mean she owns this place?
Her mother owns the place.
Where's her father?
Bang!
Killed? Who shot him?
He.
Who?
Him.
Who's him?
Himself.
Oh, he committed suicide.
Yes!
What the... What?
Don't ask me, man.
What? That's Jeez. The comic relief?
I want him to have a spinoff show, that waiter.
He killed himself. I can't tell you. It's just, oh no, it's so crazy.
You're listening to Ralph's Video Vault, Samurai Cop, maybe the worst, best movie ever.
Now, they're trying to fight the Katana gang, and their undercover patrol car gets blown up. And Frank Washington is worried that Captain Roma might be upset with him.
Killed his own men.
I know. It's called code of silence. He doesn't want anybody talking.
God, and look what they've done to my car. Captain Roma's gonna burn my ass.
Yeah, he's gonna burn it. Charcoal black.
It is black.
Right on.
Oh. Because Frank's already black.
He's a black guy?
He's a black guy, yeah.
So right on.
You know how we know he's a black guy? Because they often talk about how big his penis is.
Really?
Yeah. So much so that when the Katana gang is trying to get the address for where Samurai Joe lives and trying to get it out of Frank, they jump him when he gets out of the shower.
Yeah.
And they put a razor to his penis. And they threaten him that if he doesn't hand over Samurai Joe's address, they're going to cut his penis off.
Wow.
Please enjoy.
That's it.
I don't have that.
What?
I don't have that clip.
What?
I don't have cut the penis off clip.
What?
I don't have to cut the penis clip off
clip. The black gift.
I don't have the black gift.
I'm going to take your black gift, he says.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Wait, he says, I'm going to take your black gift.
Give me the information, or I'm going to cut off your black gift.
Wow.
In a moment, you will never enjoy yourself again.
Oh, that's too bad.
He's going to cut off the black gift.
I have to get this movie now.
Yeah. By the way, they're making a sequel. You can go to Kickstarter if you want to donate money to the sequel.
I do.
They're reuniting the original actors.
Yeah.
They're getting Matt Hannon, who played Joe, back.
Uh-huh.
And Mark Frazier, who played Frank Washington. They're going to team them up again 25 years later.
That was a tour de force.
I hope they take on the Katana gang again. That's all I hope.
You too.
Oh, my goodness.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, we are going to have some live music.
Yeah.
Why not?
Vance Joy is here.
What a way to kick off the week.
Going to be performing live. Very excited about that. First, though, it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
We want to make a quick correction. Sadly, Omar let me down during the video vault.
Oh, that last clip.
I didn't have the final clip I wanted to play from Samurai Cop, where Detective Frank Washington... He is threatened with a razor blade at his penis.
Right.
If he doesn't give up the address of Samurai Joe, that they're going to cut off his penis.
Right.
And I mentioned that, and I didn't want to let the listeners down and not give them that actual scene from the genius film that is Samurai Cop. So here is that scene.
Hey, take it easy, man. Come on. Talk to me. What do you want?
I can kill you now, or I can relieve you of this gift. It's black gift. In a split second, you won't enjoy yourself the rest of your life. All I want is Samurai's address.
His address.
Yeah. You don't want to relieve him of his black gift.
This gift.
This gift is this black gift.
This is black gift.
He's got the black gift. I don't want to call my penis from now on. I'm going to call it the gift.
Now.
I'm going to call it the Irish
gift. I'm calling mine the black gift. Now, when you're looking at him, you know he's a black guy, right?
Frank Washington?
You're looking at a black guy.
Yeah, sure.
So why does he have to? Why does he have to clarify the black gift?
Because it's the black gift. Because okay. He's got a black gift.
All right. I would think that's assumed. But
he gives up that information, by the way, man.
Does he? Yeah, he leads him back to Samurai Cop?
He does.
That's BS.
Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office. It is Monday morning. That's what we do. Take a look and see what people went to see over the weekend. None of these films are as good as Samurai Cop.
That's true.
I'll let you know that Guardians of the Galaxy was number one again this weekend. $10 million made it number one for the fifth week in a row. Then Let's Be Cops. Let's Be Samurai Cops. That's the movie I want to see.
That's right.
If I Stay, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and The November Man were the top five films at the box office. As Beloved, So Below. Nope. As Above, So Below. Not Beloved at all. When the Game Stands Tall, The Giver, The 100-Foot Journey, and The Identical were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Joan Rivers got the funeral she dreamed of yesterday at a temple in Manhattan. People magazine says it was a star-studded affair, including a speech by Howard Stern. He eulogized her, and Whoopi Goldberg was there, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, her Fashion Police co-host Juliana Rancic, and Kelly Osbourne were also there. But sadly, they were alive. I thought it was kind of cool. The London subway put up a sign in honor of Joan Rivers at their Hackney Wick station that reads, "As a tribute to the late Joan Rivers, parts of this station will be gradually replaced over the next 40 years." And I thought that was pretty awesome and very funny on their part. So good for them. And over the weekend, it was Bill Murray Day. The Toronto Film Festival was going on this past weekend, and they had free screenings of his movies Stripes, Groundhog Day, and Ghostbusters, plus chances to win tickets to the premiere of his latest film, St. Vincent, which happened to be premiering there at the film festival. If you dressed up as a character from one of his movies, you could get to see those movies for free. Bill was in attendance to promote St. Vincent, his new film, and he said, "I like to feel that every day is Bill Murray Day, at least for a second every day." So,
back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars all born today. September the 8th, singer Amy Mann is 54 years old today. Martin Freeman, very talented actor. You know him from Sherlock and also from The Hobbit, 43. Brooke Burke, actress and host, is 43 as well. David Arquette is 43. Lorenz Tate turns 39. Pink is 35. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, 33 years old. Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you do, Avicii?
He's not, still not Italian.
Hey, Avicii, you want to get some pizza pie?
Still not Italian.
Go to Olive Garden and get some free pasta.
I'm not positive. I think he's Swedish. I don't think he's Italian at all. Yes.
He's 25. And Wiz Khalifa turns 27 years old today.
Wiz! Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later?
Tell me.
I can do it right now.
Like, Wiz is going to stop right there and...
I want to smoke with this guy. That's what he's thinking. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In an hour, we're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about the NFL this past weekend. I don't know if you saw any of the games, but the Miami Dolphins, who are not a premier team, beat the New England Patriots. And Tom Brady was crying, and all is good. And we thought we would talk this morning to Bill Belichick, the coach. Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Not happy.
Yeah. You were ahead at halftime, 20-10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you tell the guys in the locker room? Because when you came back out, you got outscored like 23 unanswered points, and you scored zero in the second half.
Yeah.
So what did you tell the guys at halftime?
Win.
And how'd that go?
Not.
It didn't go.
No.
You said in the press conference afterwards that your team did everything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Playing, coaching, you also threw in. Is this your fault as the head coach?
Sure, I play a role.
How big a role?
Partial.
What?
Partial role.
Partial. So it wasn't really as much your fault as it was the team and the other coaches?
It was a team effort. You win as a team, you lose as a team.
Right. Tom Brady was terrible.
Tom Brady's a bitch.
And he was crying.
Crying little bitch.
Yeah.
The Dolphins. We lost to the Dolphins.
You did lose to the Dolphins.
Come on, the Dolphins.
That's our point.
The Miami Dolphins.
That's our point. You lost to the Dolphins. That happened. Bill, take it easy. Bill, take it. It was only the first game of the season.
Dolphins!
Yeah, it was the Dolphins.
Sorry, I just had to get that out.
Yeah. We welcome Vance Joy to the studios of K-Rock. Welcome. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
What a weird story you have. What a bizarre way you got into music.
Yeah.
Explain to people the path you were on before you turned and went music.
I was at university studying a law degree, and I was also, doing a lot of things. I was gardening. And
you were gardening?
That was my job, yeah, my gardening job, which was really good. A lot of time to think about songs when you're taking weeds out of a garden and blowing leaves around. And also I was playing football in Australia. I was really into all those things. And then,
and we know that as rugby here, right?
No, it's a different game altogether.
Oh, it is.
It's a completely unique game to Australia. It's called Australian Rules Football, and it's like this really rough game. It's a mess.
You have no pads, right?
No pads.
Oh,
just
my God.
Running directly into each other like a 360 game. So it's pretty entertaining, but it's also super dangerous.
Yeah, so. I would think so.
Yeah, so
did you
get
injured? How long did you play that?
I played all my high school, and I played all, you know, since I was like 9 years old, I was playing football. It's like second nature to play that sport, you know? And,
right.
And then after school, I played for about 3 years while I was studying at university. I got injured a few times, but nothing too bad.
Like, did you get a law degree?
I ended up getting it. I fell over the line and I got it.
Okay. So you did Australian rules football and you became a lawyer and you were gardening. Now, at what point did you go, hey, I should write songs and go that route? Did you think from the beginning you could write songs?
Well, I knew that I liked music. I loved playing covers. And then I wrote a few songs at the end of school, which were really average, like really bad songs. But I think you got to write a lot of bad songs before you write a decent song. So I wrote my first decent song in 2009, and it was called Winds of Change. And I kind of felt really kind of excited by it. And I played it to people. And every time I played it, I get this like kind of like – I get like goosebumps, you know?
Right.
And I'd be like, this is kind of a powerful – experience.
That's the first song that you had written that you started playing for other people?
Yes. Yeah, it was like I played it at open mic nights and I was like, hey, do you want to hear a song? And people would be like, yeah, I guess. Like, and I'm just always trying to spruik it to people. And
right.
Then, from then I couldn't, even though I was doing all those other things, I couldn't kind of, I guess my heart was really set on songwriting and that dream to be a songwriter and to do music in a more, I guess, consistent way was always there, and I kept feeding that dream. And over the last 3 years, I just was writing songs kind of in secret, and then I had about five or six songs that I was really proud of, and I went and recorded Riptide actually 2 years ago with my drummer. We organized a rehearsal studio and also a recording space. We recorded it in a day. Yeah, we recorded it in a day.
Okay.
And then
I also read that Riptide was made up of a bunch of pieces of other stuff that you had sort of come up with. Is that true?
That's true, yeah. In 2008, I wrote the first two lines, and I thought, this is not going to go anywhere. Like, this has no potential, which is funny. It's funny how you don't know if it's good or not. You know, you just kind of write it. And then 4 years later, I wrote the melody for the chorus. All these kind of things came into my head, like stream of consciousness kind of lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And the song kind of came together. And
now, did you go into the Australian Rules football team and say, guys, I'm writing songs and I'm playing a ukulele?
I was like, yeah, I need you guys to give me your blessing. You know, like, I'm going to have this little very, very kind of not masculine instrument. They gave me their blessing because I was playing covers at social functions.
Oh, okay. So they knew that was in you from the beginning.
They knew that I was a guitar guy. Yeah.
But not a guitar guy as much as a ukulele.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't know
that
I had
the ukulele. How do you... For those of you that don't know, it's like a little mini miniature guitar.
It's tiny.
Yeah, it looks like a clown guitar.
It looks like a clown guitar.
Yeah.
My one's slightly bigger than a tiny mini. Like, it's not so novelty that it's like, that can't make sound. It's kind of, it's, I guess, like 50, I don't know what you guys would say, 20 inches long, maybe a bit.
Okay.
Okay, about that size. But anyway, this ukulele, I picked it up at a music shop, and I guess I was looking for something different, something to change up just from playing guitar. You get bored of the same instrument playing all the time. So I picked it up, and it makes you play songs differently. It makes you sound different. So I kind of fell in love with the instrument. And when I started playing it, people were like, this is a novelty. Like, it's really cool. I like this ukulele. And I was like, really? You know, I didn't even think. I thought it was kind of like a joke. And they were like, no, I really like the way.
Are you positive they weren't pulling your leg?
Well, I don't know. It's too late now. It's too late now, you know.
Oh, I love that instrument. It's awesome.
They're like, they're like, he looks like such an idiot with his uke. I want to see him do it again.
Well, you're a pretty big guy, and it's a pretty small instrument.
It is. It is. It probably does look a bit. It is like you can't escape that. I'm like 6'4" almost, and
right.
I've got a tiny little, you know, ukulele.
So you record Riptide and you put it out there.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have a band yet. You don't have an album yet. You don't have anything. You just put that song out.
I got nothing. I put it on SoundCloud. Yeah.
You put that on SoundCloud. Okay. So then who picks it up first? Was it in the GoPro commercial early on, or how did it work?
It was even before that. I put that out in 2012. I put that version up online, and my manager is a friend, a guy that we both went to the same school, and he was a bit older than me, and he saw on Facebook that I'd posted a link to the song on SoundCloud.
Right.
He listened to it, and then about 2 weeks later, he'd kind of been listening to it, and he's like, this is a cool song. I want to know more. He called me up. He goes, hey, do you have any more songs? And I sent him about 5 or 6 demos that I had on my phone. That was like the only other recordings that I had.
Yeah.
And then he said,
what kind of quality was that on your phone?
It was like, in my head, it's like, oh, you know, this sounds like good, but you know, it's so different to other artists, I guess. When eventually you get to a more professional level, you send proper demos to people.
Well, I would imagine, yeah. But again, you're going about this all backwards, sort of.
Yeah, I didn't have a band yet. I didn't have any of that
no
stuff.
No band, no album. So the song takes off, right?
The song eventually did, but there was about 6 months where I was just organizing a band. I guess my songwriting was more advanced than everything else. So I had to kind of put all those pieces in place. We wrote out a plan kind of thing. You know, in our heads we had a blueprint of we have to get a band, we have to record some more songs, we have to put this all together so that it becomes something.
Right. And that's a bizarre way to go about it. And meanwhile, this song was taking over the world, Riptide.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long... In Australia, it's kind of had its wave of popularity, and it's been an amazing trip in Australia. And right now, we've put a lot of time into coming to America and really wanting to, you know, make an impression. So I've played a bunch of tours, and slowly, 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 you start to get your foot in there.
Now, you have your first real album coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dream Your Life Away. Tell me about that.
That was put together around all the touring we were doing, because Riptide was, as you said, it kind of was getting around, and these branches of this song were just kind of opening all these doors, and I was walking through a lot of doors, but I also had to record more songs.
What do you do if you only have one song, though?
Well,
start touring behind Riptide.
Yeah.
You had other ones, I guess.
I did have other songs.
How many?
I think now I've got about 15 songs.
No, I'm saying
songs.
Then, when you started touring behind Riptide.
I had an EP of 5 songs.
Okay.
And I had about 2 or 3 that were just coming in. Around the time we were recording, I had 3 more new ones.
And that was about 8. God Loves It When You Dance?
Yeah, God Loves You When You're Dancing.
Okay.
And then I had 3 more, and then I had a couple of covers. You stretch it out.
What were the covers?
There's not a big back catalog yet. But
what were the covers?
The covers,
I was going to get to the covers, because when you start playing, you only have 4 or 5 songs. You have to play some covers.
Yeah,
I did a cover of Dancing in the Dark. I also did a cover of Casey and JoJo. Well, this is a new one. I did this actually a couple of weeks ago. Casey and JoJo, All My Life.
Uh-huh.
And I did an old Australian song called It's Because I Love You. So I had about 3 covers rolling around. And also Ignition, I think I did for a little bit. And then I decided to stop playing the arcade. I don't know.
That just seemed wrong to you?
Just didn't. I mean, it was kind of good. I used to play at a cafe, and I'd play, you know, the ukulele. Then I'd play, like, my Ignition remix to Ignition, my own kind of remix on my ukulele. It was probably pushing things too far in the novelty direction when you got the uke and you're playing R. Kelly.
You call it the uke, do you, in the biz?
Pardon?
You call it the uke?
Yeah. The uke. In the biz, you know.
In the biz, you call it the uke. Well, I love it. The album is out tomorrow. It's called Dream Your Life Away. It's Vance Joy, and you're going to perform live in the next room with the uke.
Yes.
All right, we'll come awesome. Right back.
Vince Joy is here. The new album is out tomorrow, his first. It's called Dream Your Life Away, and you're going to play something live for us here?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Vince Joy live on K-Rock.
I was scared of dentists in the dark. I was scared of pretty girls and starting conversations. All my friends are turning green. You're the magician's assistant in their dreams. Oh. Running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you're gonna sing the words wrong. Here's this movie that I think you'll like. This guy decides to quit his job and head to New York City. This cowboy is running from himself. She's been living on the highest shelf. Oh, oh, oh. And they come unstuck. Later, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left-hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you're gonna sing the words wrong. I just wanna know if you're gonna stay. I just gotta know. I can't have it any other way. I swear she is destined for the screen. Closest thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left-hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong. Oh, lady, running down to the riptide, taking away to the dark side. I wanna be your left-hand man. I love you when you're singing that song, and I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong. Yeah, I got a lump in my throat, cause you gone and sang the words wrong.
Come on. 6'4", playing a ukulele, singing at the very top of your register. That's insane. Most people that come in here early that are in bands kind of dump out on the high notes and go a little lower. You couldn't do it with that one.
No, you got, there's no hiding on this.
There's no hiding on that one.
Wake up early and do a lot of warm-ups.
Just do it. All right. The new album is Dream Your Life Away. We have Vance Joy in the studio. One more song?
Yes, please.
Fantastic. Yes, please.
So this one is called Mess Is Mine.
Talking like we used to do, it was always me and you, shaping up and shipping out. Check me in and check me out. Do you like walking in the rain? When you think of love, do you think of pain? You can tell me what you see. Well, I will choose what I believe. Well, hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. happiness is mine. See you in the marketplace, walking round at 8 a.m. I got 2 hours before my flight. Luck be on my side tonight. You're the reason that I feel so strong, the reason that I'm hanging on. You know you gave me all that time. Well, did I give enough of mine? Well, hold on, darling. This body is yours. This body is yours and mine. Well, hold on, my darling. This mess was yours. Now your mess is mine. Ooh, your mess is mine. Your mess is mine. Bring me to your house and tell me sorry for the mess. Hey, I don't mind. Talking in your sleep, out of time. Well, you still make sense to me. Your mess is mine. Oh, ooh, ooh, your mess is mine. This body's yours and this body's mine. Your mess is mine.
And the crowd goes crazy. That's fantastic.
Thank you very
much.
That
is fantastic. You flew in from Australia yesterday.
Yes.
You did that now. You're heading to the East Coast, but Boston, Philadelphia later this week?
Yeah, tonight actually.
Tonight?
Good enough, yeah.
Okay, and then you're going to come back to Southern California. You're going to be playing at the Ford Theater on November 28th, and I guess there are still a couple of tickets available if you'd like to see Vance Joy at AXS.com. Thanks very much for spending your morning with us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you, Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51. Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Guardians of the Galaxy, number one yet again, with $10 million this weekend. It wasn't a lot of money, but good enough to make it number one for the fifth week in a row. Let's Be Cops was second. If I Stay, third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, fourth.
A lot of older movies.
November Man was fifth. Yeah, the only movie that debuted this weekend that showed up in the top 10 was The Identical. We talked to Seth Green about that. That was number 10 at the box office, making about $2 million in limited release. The other films, number six, As Above, So Below, When the Game Stands Tall, The Giver, The 100-Foot Journey at number 9, and then, as I mentioned, Identical. Great news! In fact, I think it's time for a little hot fudge holy moly.
Yeah! Hot fudge holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge holy moly! I'm going to have some fun!
ABC announced they just renewed Bachelor in Paradise!
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Really? But really?
VIP! VIP!
Nobody calls it VIP, do they?
Petros and I call it VIP.
No.
Petros and I have decided we're going to do a Bachelor in Paradise report here.
Podcast?
On the Kevin and Bean Show.
On the podcast?
That we're going to do a weekly Bachelor in Paradise report because it was so awesome. It really was the best thing ever. So that's great news. First, we're going to get a brand new Bachelor with Chris, the Iowa farmer.
Oh, I love Chris, the Iowa farmer.
Then we get a Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah.
So it's just nothing but good times. You know who should be the Bachelor? Matt Hannon.
Who's
Samurai
that?
Cop.
Oh, yeah.
Samurai Cop. He should be the Bachelor. He is dreamy.
He is. And all the women
long,
love him.
Long flowing hair and muscles for days. And the women love him.
Killed his own men.
I know. It's called Code of Silence.
Yeah.
He doesn't want anybody talking.
God, man, look what they've done to my car. Captain Roman's going to burn my ass.
Yeah, he's going to burn it. Charcoal black.
It is black.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on.
Right on. It is black.
I'm the bachelor.
That was my point, really. When I said he was going to burn your ass and it would be black, it was a reference to the fact that you're black. But I am black. I know. That's why
right
that's
on.
Why I made the joke, because...
He would be a great bachelor.
Never mind, Frank.
He would be a great bachelor. Cops.
They just don't get along sometimes. Jennifer Lawrence, congratulations. She is now in the Guinness Book of World Records. Picked up a listing as the highest-grossing action movie heroine of all time. In terms of female action movie stars, she is number one, thanks to her role as Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games. First two Hunger Games movies have grossed over $1.5 billion worldwide.
Wow.
My God.
Have you seen the trailer for Mockingjay? That looks awesome.
It does look awesome, and she is just as good as those films are. Maybe even better. Beyonce also showed up in the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest-selling iTunes record. Sold over 828,000 downloads of her record in 3 days last December. Remember she released that secret record? Remember?
It was like, oh, yeah. It was like at midnight.
And boom, it all happened and
everybody
she
went
exploded.
Crazy.
Miley Cyrus is the most searched-for pop star on the internet, also in the Guinness Book, and Katy Perry, most popular Twitter user with over 56 million followers.
56 million?
Yeah. Well, you got to find out what color her hair is going to be this week. How could you miss out on that? You got to follow her. Apparently, Paramount is so pleased with the rebooted Terminator franchise with Terminator Genesis that will be out next year on July the 1st that they've already scheduled the next two movies in the series.
Wow.
Terminator 2 has been set for May 19th, 2017, and then Terminator 3 for June 29th, 2018.
So 2018,
get
okay.
Your calendars out once again and make sure you know what's going on.
I'm busy.
You're busy in 2018?
Yes. Shoot.
And while we're talking sequels and reboots and what have you, they're doing yet another Pirates of the Caribbean film. It looks like one of the old cast members is returning, Orlando Bloom. As said, he may be sailing the seven seas with Johnny Depp once again. Working with Johnny and director Gore Verbinski was really amazing, he said, and there have been some discussions about him returning to the fold with the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales, so he may return. But didn't he have to go off and live on that ghost ship or whatever? He can only come back once a year or something to see his girlfriend.
I can't remember exactly.
I don't remember.
It's been a long time since that first one, but I think something happened. Something was up.
Weren't there two, though? Is there only one?
There's three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Four?
One
four?
Of them,
four.
One of them, the ship was upside down in the ocean, and I didn't even barely understand that one, I don't think.
I like the one with Davy Jones, with Bill Nighy as Davy Jones. We had that squid face.
Yeah.
That was
good.
That was a good one. I like that one.
That's good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Amy Mann is 54 years old today. Martin Freeman turns 43. You know him, of course, not only from The Hobbit and from Sherlock, but from The Office.
The also, British version.
Also Fargo, the British office, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's where he got his big break. Brooke Burke, she's 43 years old today. David Arquette turns 43. Lorenz Tate, very talented actor, is 39. Pink is 35 years old today. She's not 53 at all. That'd be crazy.
She looks great if she's in her 50s.
Unless you're hanging from one of those scarves that she likes to play with. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is 33. DJ Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you doing, Avicii?
He's not Italian.
Hey, paisano, get some pizza pie and some spaghetti for you, Avicii.
I've never been Italian.
And Wiz Khalifa celebrates his 27th birthday today.
Wiz! Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later? Where are we smoking later?
Tell me.
I can do it right now. Wiz!
He sounds so desperate.
I know.
He sounds like he's going to die.
Hey, where are we smoking, buddy?
We should smoke
you together. Right now.
As he walks away, I guess that was your answer, beer mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
It is 9 minutes after seven minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yes. Sure, whatever.
Whichever way you want to go. Seven minutes.
Either way.
Let's go with 7 after 9.
All right, why not?
Let's do that. Hey, Andrew Siciliano, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Just walked in.
Busiest man in show business.
Traffic's a disaster today.
Well, there's water falling from the sky.
No, there is. No. There is no water falling from the sky.
There is some water
fell from the sky.
There was a little bit of Hollywood.
In like Riverside.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the you're brushing your teeth, and when you get done brushing your teeth, you got a little that's all that fell from the sky.
That's all
collectively
it takes,
over all of Southern California.
That's all it takes.
Oh my God, it's raining!
That is not rain traffic. That is just bad Monday morning
traffic.
It took me 15 minutes to get when I was coming down the ramp here at Fairfax to turn left on Fairfax, left on Venice.
Wow.
That's about
15, 20 minutes.
That's about a 200-yard trip.
Exactly.
Why you need a jetpack. I always told you, you need a jetpack,
I would go
Andrew.
For a jetpack. Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
sir.
Good to see you.
How was your first official weekend of NFL football?
It was awesome. I mean, really, it was our 10-year anniversary, for those who didn't know.
Is that right?
So we showed, the beginning of our 10th year is the better way to say
okay.
it. So we showed video from 05 where we were in standard def and on a green screen and we couldn't even show CBS games live. And I was fat with a three-button suit and pleated pants. It was awesome. It was awesome. And then we had good games. We had all these games. We had your Eagle game.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
A tale of two games. We had the Browns Steelers, a tale of two games. We had the Cowboys providing a circus music and a laugh track at 1 o'clock.
Oh, man, that was nuts.
We had the Patriots losing.
Let's pause for a second on the Cowboys.
Yes, yes.
They were bad.
They were bad at
Tony
football.
Tony Romo was terrible.
He was bad.
No, terrible.
Well, he was
bad.
He has not played much since his operation, you know.
He played, I think he threw 14 passes in the preseason,
total.
Something like that,
yeah.
In two games, played two games in the preseason. But he generally, I mean.
He threw three interceptions in the first half?
Well, here's the thing about it. You could get rusty.
Yeah.
Speaking here as a guy that never played quarterback, but from you know, speaking to people that do play quarterback, they say these weren't like rusty. It's not like
that.
I mean, he was throwing the ball where the ball shouldn't be thrown. That's not
right,
rust.
To the other team.
The other team wears other jerseys. Yes.
But if it's rust combined with the physical therapy, the trying to recover from a surgery,
sure.
I'm sure that had something to
what
do
was
with
the surgery?
Look, honestly, I'm no Romo fan.
The
obviously.
Eagle fan making excuses for Romo.
I'm happy to watch him fail anytime.
He had back surgery.
Back surgery. Okay.
Yeah, back surgery.
But I couldn't help but wonder as I watched gleefully, if that didn't have something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe. Either way, collectively, they played poorly.
Yes, the entire team.
And it was a bad game. I mean, they made it, I don't even say they made it interesting. They scored a couple of times late, but it wasn't really
it was sort of,
a
it
game.
Was enjoyable, though, even though it wasn't a game.
It was enjoyable to those who hate the Cowboys.
Yes,
I'm
correct,
assuming
yeah.
this is a room full of those people.
Sure.
I kept saying, show me more Jerry! Cut to Jerry in the box!
Well, we only had two games late. We had that game late, and we had the game in Tampa with the Bucs and the Panthers.
Yeah,
so we had
that.
A first yesterday. We split the screen and showed two punts.
Yeah, I saw that.
We had never done that before.
I saw that you tweeted out the picture, and I thought, am I missing something, or is he actually tweeting out a picture of a split screen of punters?
Well, somebody tweeted it to me.
Oh, okay.
A viewer tweeted it to me. I simply retweeted it.
All right.
And with only two games, I do have time to be on the Twitter.
Yeah,
because,
you do. That's true.
As
yeah,
I just
some time
said
to
my dad, you know, you have 10 games early where you're hyper-focused, and then two games late is a crash.
Yeah,
I mean, it is
just nothing going on.
And who thought 10 years ago, talk about how times have changed.
Yeah.
10 years ago, watching two games at once would be boring. Please.
Yeah, no kidding.
Please. I need more to stimulate. Two games, two NFL games bores me.
Yeah.
But we're going to have four or five, I think, at 1 o'clock Pacific this coming
We have
week.
Short attention spans. I think that's the problem.
Yes, we do.
Two more tonight.
Ralph, your quarterback sort of sucked the first half.
Nick Foles struggled in
the first half.
Yeah.
It was a rough half.
He struggled mightily.
It looked like Napoleon Dynamite in the first half.
And I have to say, given the result of the game, I'm kind of glad he did, especially in the first game of the season. I think it sets a good tone for him to... I think maybe his success last season sort of got the best of him, and he started to feel like he was the starter and the face of the franchise.
He is.
And he came. But I think that gave him a certain... overconfidence, perhaps, that did not serve him well going into that game, especially because it was the lowly Jags, and there was a lot going into that game where I think they sort of got full of themselves, and I think it was a good punch in the mouth that first half to kind of wake them up.
It came out and won.
I joked that at halftime, your brethren were calling for Chip Kelly to get fired.
Yeah,
wouldn't
exactly.
Shock me.
Right, yeah.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
Half into the first
in
game.
In any way,
season.
Shape, or form.
Andrew, you've seen the Browns fan YouTube. Have you seen that?
No, what is it?
The Browns fan?
No.
He was not thrilled.
The Browns fan?
This is halftime, right?
This is halftime of the Browns game.
Oh, jeez.
And Johnny Manziel didn't exactly play.
He didn't play at all.
At all.
No, he did not enter the football
this
game.
Guy,
he was dressed as a football player.
This guy was not happy about that.
Jimmy Haslam! Did you buy a team to watch Brian Hoyer go 3-and out every series? You got Johnny Manziel on the bench. I want him in the game. I know damn well you want him in the game. We had to settle for some piece of garbage coach because no one else wanted to come here. Well, now it's time. You have the ability to change that. Make a call down to that bald-headed mother
wow.
to put Manziel in. This is embarrassing.
I didn't know my dad
in 40
knew how to use YouTube.
5 years. I've never seen nothing.
45
this
years.
This bad. Mike Pett is garbage. Mike Pettin sucks.
In case you didn't get the message.
45 years he's been watching the Browns.
You know, that's my favorite part, like, of sports radio or fans. You know, hey, you know, I call her, you're on the air. It's like, Andrew, I've been a fan of the Falcons for 31 years. I don't, it's like, please, I don't need your credentials.
Yeah, I don't need your resume.
Okay, it proves to me that you're a fan, that you're taking time out of your day to pick
call
up
about,
the phone
sure.
or to scream into your iPhone and put it on YouTube.
Right.
I get that you're a fan.
The passion is evident.
Yes, the passion is evident. Thank you. Johnny Manziel would not have changed the outcome of that game. Brian Hoyer rallied them back. It was the defense that was the issue mostly in the first half. Johnny Manziel can't tackle anyone, nor can Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
They couldn't tackle anybody.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It does make it difficult.
Anybody in the first half.
I like to watch you as those games are going along, though, knowing that you're a Browns fan. I like to watch just to see if there's any crack, just to see if there's any, like...
Man's a professional.
He
He's
is.
Not going to let his emotions get
most
carried away.
Most of the time, he does.
Sometimes. I'll say this. 2007, when the Browns won 10 games and somehow did not make the playoffs, 2007 was an interesting year because they had so many games that came down to the wire. They had one game in which the Ravens were already in the locker room, and the officials made them come back out and rule that the Browns could get a second chance at a game-winning field goal. It's a crazy story. I lost my voice during that. And I wasn't even saying anything on the air. I was screaming off the air. So, but yes, thank you. Ralph, I am a professional.
Very much so.
And yesterday I was very calm. There were other games to deal
with. You were not that guy.
No. We had the Bears and the Bills go to overtime.
That
we had
was
to be
crazy.
Calm for that game.
Yep.
Where's the other overtime game? There were two overtime games. I don't
yes.
even remember.
I don't remember the
it's
other
all
one
a blur to me. We had two overtime games. And so, yeah.
The Falcons, maybe?
Yes,
yeah,
the Falcons
Saints,
and the Saints. Very good.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
All right. We need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. He is the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV.
When we get back, let's talk surprises for opening weekend, because there were certainly a few.
The Bethune-Cookman Band, certainly one of them.
Andrew Siciliano in the studio with us.
Talking about the first full weekend of NFL action that we had, which rounds up, I guess, tonight with two more
right.
games. But 98% of America was thrilled this weekend with the Dallas Cowboys losing to the San Francisco 49ers. And then you had what happened with Tom Brady and the New England Patriots against the Miami Dolphins. That had to surprise a lot of people.
See, I thought you were going to say that 98% of America was also happy with that.
No.
Okay.
They were happy. Yeah, they were happy that those two things happened.
I would think both, yeah.
So it is the first time the Patriots have been in sole possession of last place, if you want to call it that, because they're the only team in the division that
did.
The season ended today.
Don't they have some long record of winning opening days?
Yeah, and they've won the division 5 straight years. No team has ever won the division 6 straight years. They have not been in this position, sole possession of last, since 2001 when Brady took over. It's not the end of the world.
I think it had been 10 opening games.
Is that what it was?
Exactly.
In a row,
yeah. They lost last year in Miami. Big deal.
Do you cry after game one, though?
Do I? Who cried?
Tom Brady.
Did Brady? He didn't cry.
Yeah, he didn't cry.
He
was crying.
He did not cry. His wife speaks 5 languages and is worth $1 billion.
He
did not
cry.
He sold his house that had a moat around it in Brentwood. It has a moat, all right, with dragons. He is not crying.
He's
got dragons?
He has a moat. Why else would you have a moat? Or he sold the house, right? Didn't who bought the house?
No.
Dr. Dre
bought the house. According to, like, you know,
real estate TMZ or something, whatever that is. But
it is real estate TMZ.
Isn't there a real estate TMZ?
I think they've got one of their many sectors is real estate, celebrity real estate.
Yeah. Did you see Brady when Gronk scored the touchdown? Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gronk scored touchdown. Like Gronk spiked football.
He had dropped the touchdown pass the way he roughed him up.
You've got to see this. He's going nuts.
And look, if you didn't know, you would think he was beating him up.
He was screaming. I mean, wow.
It looked scary.
In bed with Giselle.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing.
It looked scary. Yo soy fiesta, Gronk's greatest line ever, by the way. You don't remember that? A couple of years ago, someone walked up to Gronk in the Patriots locker room. This video is out there on the YouTube somewhere. And asked him, hey, I believe this is where ESPN Deportes. Do you speak Spanish? I took it in high school or something like that. So they asked him a question in Spanish. And he went, yo soy fiesta.
He is a party, though. He's right. And then his forearm shattered.
Now you watched everything.
Does any of this mean anything? Does week one mean anything to anybody?
There is no greater overreaction day on the sports calendar than today.
Of any sport.
It is the greatest overreaction day anywhere. Ever. So what does it mean? I don't know. Call me next week.
Jimmy Haslam!
Stop it. Did you buy a team? That's what we need
to watch Brian Hoyer go 3-and-out!
By the way, that guy, this was halftime yesterday.
Right.
This wasn't even today.
So where's his video after the second half when Brian Hoyer led the Browns back? Johnny Manziel wasn't going to lead. I'll say this right now. Johnny Manziel probably has a decent future in the NFL.
Yes.
He was not going to lead them back against the Steelers yesterday. That one happening. Because he's not ready.
Because he's not. He's new to the NFL, and you just don't step in and do great.
Well,
it's impossible.
Look, he showed he flashed a little,
right,
as they say, in the preseason. Made some plays. But you didn't look at him at the preseason and say, wow, you can't keep that guy off the bench or on the bench. Give him the keys. You didn't see that at all.
Yeah, it's always easy to, as the fans, to go, whatever you're doing that's not working, why aren't you doing this?
Do the opposite.
Look, and maybe doing that would have gotten you the same result. You don't know.
The backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in town. It's one of the oldest sports cliches there is. So he's a backup quarterback. He's popular.
Yeah.
There's a legitimate quarterback question happening in Washington with the team that you're not allowed to say their name anymore, that Washington football team.
The Skins.
The Redskins. Can we say the Redskins? I'll say it.
All right.
Cousins is
on the
sidelines.
Don't scream at me the name of the team until otherwise.
Yeah. Cousins is on the sidelines. Griffin is playing. A lot of people saying it should be the other way around.
Yeah, except you're not going to do that organizationally in any way, shape, or form. And by the way, Kirk Cousins didn't exactly light it up in the preseason anyway.
He did not.
Nor did he light it up last year when they benched RG3. Now, that was a bad team, and they have the longest losing streak in the NFL. They've now lost 9 straight games going back to last year. So the longest active streak in the NFL belongs to that team.
Wow.
However, I mean, do you really think, organizationally, if you take, we joked before about Nick Foles being the face of the franchise.
Right.
Robert Griffin III is the face of the franchise.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
He is. I mean, he could run.
He's an NFL star.
I'm not exaggerating. If he quit football tomorrow and ran for mayor of D.C., he would win the election in a runaway. It wouldn't even be close. They're not benching Robert Griffin III.
Right.
At all. No way. Forget about it.
After week one.
Not after week one. Now, Mike Shanahan did it last year and said it was for his own safety.
Right.
Air quotes, not visible in your car.
Right, but made.
Right.
In the studio.
And why? And
it's valid.
Who does air quotes? I mean, seriously, I'm sorry. But they're not doing it now. They're not doing it now. Yeah.
Who's the backup in Dallas? They need one.
The backup in Dallas.
They need that guy, whoever it is.
Yeah. It's Brandon Whedon, the former Browns first-round pick from a couple of years ago, who's like 94 years old.
Oh. All right, good.
No, he was actually drafted at 30 because he was a professional baseball player and went back to play football at Oklahoma State when he was like 25.
He could do it. He went back and played football.
The NCAA has crazy rules that don't make any sense and are patently unfair to the majority of people that play games.
He got drafted into the NFL when he was 30.
as a first-round pick. Wow. At the bottom of the first round, and it shows you the Browns' organizational dysfunction at that. But they got rid of him after 2 years, and now he's the backup for Tony Romo.
And then it's Jason Garrett. Then he suits up.
Jason Garrett will dust off the jersey. And he has not. Hey, Jason Garrett played in the NFL.
That's right.
All right. Giants-Lions tonight. Or this afternoon, I should say.
What about it?
30-ish.
Yeah.
Predictions?
Lions.
Lions.
Because I'll say this. You know, you take the preseason and spin it however you want to spin it. You could say that your 0-4 team was just playing a rope-a-dope, and they're going to be great.
Yeah.
Right? And that your 4-0 team, who cares? All the games were won in the fourth quarter by the bums who then got cut. That's the Giants. The Giants were 5-0 in the preseason. It is the most meaningless 5-0 in the preseason ever recorded in the history of the National Football League. They will be bad this year.
Wow.
They will be bad, especially offensively. And I'm not suggesting the Lions are heading to the playoffs. I don't think they are. But I'm not a Giants fan this year.
Eli is not going to turn him around?
They've got a new O coordinator.
They can't block for him. They have a new O coordinator, this guy that was with Aaron Rodgers. But he didn't bring Aaron Rodgers with him. I don't know if they know that.
So they may not.
They can't block for Eli.
Yeah.
They can't protect him.
That's bad.
And he's turning. I mean, he's always turned his body away when he throws the ball. That's kind of what he does to protect himself. But it just looks ugly. That's the early game.
I think that's a 4:30. The late game is Cardinals-Chargers?
Yes, as it has been seemingly every year. Mm-hmm. That one's actually good.
Seriously, Cardinals going to the Super Bowl, right?
Well, that's what you think,
Kevin. I mean, we're all on the same.
That's the bet Kevin
made.
That's
what you think.
Did you make that
bet
again? I make that bet every year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And when you say
these years.
And you make that with friends or you actually?
No, Vegas.
You go to Vegas.
Chip was in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And she said, do you want me to put $20 on the Cardinals? I was like, yeah, absolutely.
And so she did that.
Yes, she did.
In her Ryan Tannehill jersey.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And they took it.
They took it.
She gave me the ticket.
She did give you the ticket.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm ready to go. I always bet on the Cardinals. By the way, they were in the Super Bowl when? I forget. Five, seven years ago?
Yeah.
5 years ago?
Yeah. Against the Steelers?
Put money on them, too, that year. Didn't exactly win, but I came very, very close.
Hope springs eternal.
That's right. You got to try it every year. You don't ever bet on the Browns? You don't ever bet on the Eagles, Ralph?
No. For me, actually, I am legally forbidden from gambling on games.
That's right.
I am, and no, I do not do it. And by the way, you can laugh at this all you want. Because nobody believes me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that old, I've never smoked before.
Yeah, sure.
I have never placed a bet in my entire life on a sporting event.
What?
I have never, ever. Now.
What are you, an alien?
Here's what I have done. Like, I've been to the Kentucky Derby. You're at the Derby. You put a couple bucks down on a horse.
You wear a big hat?
I did not. I did drink that awful mint stuff.
Mint julep.
Mint julep?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's good stuff. I did not wear a funny hat. I've done that at the Breeders' Cup.
Horse racing is the only gambling you've ever done.
Before I worked for the NFL, yes, I have placed a bet on a horse. I knew nothing about that horse. Matter of fact, you could introduce me to the horse, I have no idea
if that's
the actual horse I bet on.
But before you worked for the NFL Network, which is clearly stated now,
yeah,
you never gambled on sports.
See, here's the deal. I really mean this, and no one believes me.
I don't.
Like, I'll sit there at a bar. Like, if I get the night off, and I'll sit there. Like, last Thursday with friends watching the Thursday night game. And you could see, especially even with fantasy teams, people just screaming and yelling, and it's week one. I mean, really, calm the hell down.
Right.
Whether or not somebody caught a ball in the first half is not going to determine whether or not you collect on your fantasy league in December. Pipe down. Please. But you see the way it affects people.
But I'm not saying fantasy.
I don't want. Okay, but it's the
I'm
same
saying.
Thing.
They got
stakes.
Yeah.
I don't want to create that artificial anxiety. Like when I watch Syracuse basketball, I break things in my home.
Okay.
Okay? My neighbors don't like me. When I watch the Indians in September, I'm an Indians fan.
Right.
Or even in April, for that matter. I get angry.
Right.
You need to pick better teams.
If the Browns are on a Monday night and I'm allowed to scream and yell because I'm not wearing a suit and makeup.
Right.
I get angry. I don't ever want to create that artificial anxiety for the sake of $50.
Yeah.
I hate how it makes me feel. So I don't need juice, so to speak, action to watch a game. Matter of fact, I love being able to be slightly detached from it and just watching it for what it is. I don't get the people that need to pump something into their arm just to enjoy a game. I mean that figuratively.
Right, sure.
I don't mean to ambush you with this, but this is from yesterday's Red Zone off the air.
Every series, you got Johnny Manziel on the f-
bench.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I sound like a Southerner.
I want him in the game.
You do.
Well, he's from South Cleveland.
Andrew Siciliano, we thank you for coming in. We always appreciate it.
Sorry about the traffic, guys.
No, thanks for bearing with the traffic. We appreciate it.
Around the NFL, and the NFL Network is on at 3 o'clock on Monday through...
Except today it's 2 because of the double games.
2 o'clock.
Yes, okay. My fault. No, usually 3,
all
but
right.
Today 2.
Yeah. I'm the host of the Red Zone on DirecTV. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Goodbye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
What the hell?
At 9:44.
It's obvious.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a look at the showbiz beat.
Why do you have to be the only one to think of that?
Well...
There's other things, Ralph. Oh, I didn't realize there were other
things. You forget there's other things.
I thought that was the only thing. There were other things?
You forgot there's other things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seriously, fire beer mug, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm.
It is Monday. We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's do that. Guardians of the Galaxy, 5 weeks in a row, number one now. Though... the money's starting to trail off a little bit. $10 million was all it made this weekend. Still good enough to make it number one. Then Let's Be Cops. Love that movie. $6.5 million made it number two. If I Stay, Then What Happens is the musical question in that film.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was fourth. The November Man with Pierce Brosnan. Had a chance to see that film. Really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Sixth says Above So Below. When the Game Stands Tall was seventh, The Giver, The 100-Foot Journey, and The Identical. In its debut, made $2 million. That was good enough to make it number 10. By the way, if you're a fan like I am of British comedy, especially Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan, I got the chance to see The Trip to Italy this weekend as well, and really enjoyed that sequel to their movie, The Trip. So you may want to check that out. Joan Rivers, she was laid to rest yesterday at a temple in New York City. Star-studded affair. Including a eulogy by Howard Stern. I had no idea they were that close. But he called the late comedian the best friend in the world, a big sister, and compared her to a crazy aunt at a bar mitzvah. I don't think she would have wanted it any other way.
Agreed.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is returning to the Terminator franchise. It's being rebooted, as you know, in a film called Terminator Genesis. That'll be out in July of next year.
Ralph, you didn't see The Expendables.
I did not see The Expendables.
Okay.
The most recent one?
Yes.
No, I did not.
You know all of the actors that were in that, and some of them are not good.
Yes. That's probably why I did not see The Expendables.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was easily the worst.
Well,
he is a parody of...
I need to explain something to you. He's never been good.
I thought he
not once
was.
Ever.
Why did I think he was?
Because you're a fool.
But he was with bad actors and he stood out.
I'm just saying. I think he probably cares less now than ever.
He was horrible.
But he's never been good.
Huh. All right, back to you.
I mean, he was always surrounded in the kind of films where you really didn't need acting to support them. I mean, Total Recall, put anybody in that role, that movie's going to be what it is.
Yeah.
But put him in, what was the thing we saw him in together? It's not Christ in New York, yes. It's Christine York. When he had to, like, deliver dialogue and plot points and stuff and everything, it was fail on every level.
Yeah, it's not good. He's not good. He's awful. That's the Terminator sound.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
All right,
I'm being told.
So. It was TMZ for a second. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Anyway, everyone's so happy with this film, Terminator Genesis. They had decided to do two more in rapid succession. Paramount Pictures has greenlit Terminator 2 and 3, which will be filmed back-to-back and then released back-to-back as well, one in 2017 and one in 2018. Got a lot to look forward to. He can play a robot, though. He can do that.
Yeah, I guess he could, sure.
And in a new Harris poll, Americans of all ages and backgrounds were asked who their favorite musician or band of all time is. Here's the top 10. Now, they asked people from 18 years old to over 69 years old.
All right.
So this is everything all factored in. I'll tell you something. Here's who dropped off the list from last year. U2, Tim McGraw, Lady Gaga, Rascal Flatts, Alan Jackson, and Frank Sinatra were all in the top 10 of last year, the same poll.
Wow.
All gone now.
Okay.
Garth Brooks, we'll start at the 10, work our way up. Garth Brooks, Celine Dion, The Eagles,
Lil Wayne?
No. Neil Diamond.
Really?
At number 7. Bruno Mars was 6th. George Strait was 5th. Led Zeppelin was 4th. Beyonce was 3rd. Elvis Presley was 2nd. And much to your chagrin, Kevin, the Beatles came in at number 1. Still number 1.
Beyonce
in the hearts of the world.
Is she the only relevant one now?
Well, I don't know about relevant, but...
I mean, still making music.
Bruno Mars. 6th on the list. Celine Dion. Garth Brooks is back in a big way. Yeah, he's got a residency in Chicago. He's doing a bunch of shows. But people, you know, people love what they love.
Sure.
But Beyonce, by the way, was the most popular amongst millennials, 18 to 37 bracket. Then Metallica was the most popular musical act for Generation Xers from 38 to 49. Baby boomers from 50 to 68 did pick the Beatles. And everyone over 69 years old in that demographic, the number one cited artist was Willie Nelson.
That's shocking.
That is shocking.
Well, you know, they're all stoners. Everyone who's over 69. That old crowd. All they do is sit around and get a little loaded. Hit the bong all day long.
It's Willie Nelson and then Snoop.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amy Mann's 54 years old today. Martin Freeman turns 43. Brooke Burke and David Arquette are also 43 today. Lorenz Tate is 39. Pink's 35. Jonathan Taylor Thomas turns 33. DJ Avicii. Hey, Avicii, how you doing, Avicii?
Still not Italian.
Hey, paisano, why don't you come over here to get some peppers and a sausage? Hey,
not Italian. Never been Italian.
He's 25 years old today. And Wiz Khalifa's 27. Remember when Beer Mug tried to smoke?
Wiz, when are we smoking? Where are we smoking later?
Tell me.
I can do it right now.
I'm Ralph Garman, and I've got Brickleberry for you.
Oh, we're giving away Brickleberry?
Yeah, we should. I think we...
Oh, okay.
I think we messed that up. My bad.
Do you have it? You do it.
I do have
How about you do it?
A pair of passes to the Brickleberry Season 3 premiere party. Season 3 of Brickleberry premieres on Tuesday, September 18th.
16th.
Oh, my
10:30
God.
10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central.
We owe somebody some money.
I think that went well. We'll take 5 callers right now. 1-800-520-1067.
One caller!
Take one call.
Jesus.
Good, Kevin.
I can't go from... I can't really do memory. Have you guys noticed?
You were reading it.
I wasn't really.
You were reading it.
I wasn't
That's
really.
Not memory if you're looking at the paper and reading it. It's not
Good,
memory.
Kevin. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Gavin Rosdale on the program. We have Adam Devine in studio. And we have the creator of Sons of Anarchy, as that show comes back tomorrow night. Very excited. Kurt Sutter tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on the Kevin and Bean show.